You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Hi everyone, I hope you're staying safe and well. I went for a walk to the shops today, which is weirdly exciting when you've been mostly not leaving the house for weeks. I think it's been weeks. How can we even tell? If you're listening to this when it drops, there's about a day and a half left of the Castle Charming Kickstarter. If you want to reserve your book, paperback or hardback copy, I could edit that out, but I'm not going to. It's just more authentic of this collection. Or get your enamel pin, book plate designed by Kathleen Jennings. Now is the time to pledge. This project actually started out here on the Sheep Might Fly podcast, so it's really cool to have brought it to a stage that it could be a shiny finished book. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had the sample paperback and hardbacks arrive, which has been really exciting to see what the books will look like. Made some cover tweaks and things, and that'll be... So the next ones should be just about perfect. And of course, now that we've passed the stretch goal for $6,000 for four new Katie Shuttleworth illustrations to be commissioned, which is really exciting, means there'll be still more content to add to the almost finished book before I can actually print it. But that's okay, because the actual printing of books is still something that's possible, but yeah, we just don't know what things may or may not be delayed, but hopefully I've built so much time, extra time, into the project. I wasn't planning on, you know, all these shutdowns and things like that to be something to work around, but I still think it's all very doable. So yeah, exciting times. As I am recording this, we're at just over 7,000 on the Kickstarter, like I said, less than 2 days to go. I think we have a pretty good chance of making the 8,000, which would be, of course, 200% of the original goal. Buff's knuckles, very exciting. But that will unlock the stretch goal of me writing a sequel story for Castle Charming, which will, of course, itself, assuming that I write it, eventually make its way to this podcast, though it would be going out to Kickstarter backers first, because they deserve it, frankly. I've been so delighted by the support for this campaign, given everything else that's going on right now. So, yes, there will hopefully be one more Castle Charming story set 3 years in the future around a wedding. I haven't told anybody yet whose wedding it's going to be, which may or may not be because I haven't decided yet. All depends if I'm going to be writing the story, doesn't it? So, if you haven't yet, please do check out the Castle Charming Kickstarter. That is enough advertising. Now, Kissing Basilisks. Chapter 5. From the journal of the patient and kind Miss Juniper Cresswell, source of hangover cures and gentle therapy. Miss Viola Vale, Bachelor of Magic, Ons, first class, has many excellent qualities. They don't always spring immediately to mind when she's in the room. But it can't be denied. She is beautiful, intelligent, and excellent at puncturing egos that really require it on a regular basis for the sake of group harmony. She has nice hair. It's always shiny. She can also be incredibly kind if she thinks she can get away with it without consequences. For such a tiny person, she has majestic projection skills. If my mother met her, she would campaign to have her trained up as an opera singer, despite her advanced age. When she fights, Viola is loud. Unfortunately for the rest of us, Viola had been fighting a lot lately, with Deck for the most part. As the residential halls were closed over summer, I'd been crashing with Holly, Hebe and May in the downstairs flat, usually in Hebe's room. Her queen-sized bed kept transforming itself into beautifully made-up twin beds to make me feel welcome. With Deck's room directly above Hebe's, I had a front-row seat, so to speak, of the catastrophic unfolding, unravelling, un-something, of his relationship with Viola over the last month or so. It had all been rather quiet in the week and a half since the summer solstice. I think they'd broken up or were on a break or in suspension of relations or some other phrase that meant they'd gone to their respective corners to take some deep breaths and reassess things. But now I woke up with the screaming. My first thought was that they were clearly back together, if she was yelling at him like that. But then I realised the screaming wasn't coming from directly above me. And it didn't sound like angry Viola at all. She sounded scared and freaked out and... Hebe, I nudged my neighbour. Something's going on. Ugh, Hebe muttered into her arm. Tell Holly to pipe down until a civilised hour. It's not Holly. I slipped out of bed, my long nightgown uncrumpling to nearly the floor. It's Viola. Can't you just break up with him and be done with it? Hebe woke up properly then and looked annoyed at herself. Oh, that was mean. I'm trying to quit that. Come on. I didn't wait for her to decide whether she was still avoiding her own boyfriend and hurried out of the ground floor flat to the stairs that led up to the other flat. They never lock the internal doors, which shows how much they all trust each other around here. The Manic Pixie Dream House has always felt more like one big share house than two separate residences. As I stepped into the kitchen, I noticed a big black shadow mark on the fridge. Before I could investigate that fully, I saw Deck step out of his own room into the living room beyond, wearing pajama pants and nothing else. V, what the... he started to say, and a snowball hit him in the face. An actual ball of snow. He staggered back, looking startled. I could smell smoke, dark, thick smoke, like someone had been burning bacon. The kitchen was clear, but when I ran into the living room, I saw... well, a blackened, miserable Jules nightshade. Also without a shirt, gentlemen of today have no shame. He stood beside Viola. Her hair spiked up around her head like a jet black dandelion. She had one arm outstretched in Deck's direction and she looked horrified. I didn't, she said with another frustrated wave of her arm. Three icicles, sharp and devastating, shot from her hand into the doorframe beside me. Stop gesturing at people, Jules howled. And what was left of his boxer shorts promptly burst into flame. Nothing made sense. Viola's powers were the fire ones, weren't they? Like Sage, and Jules was... Oh. You've been cursed, I said quickly. Stand very still, both of you. Try to suppress your magic. Deck, go carefully to the kitchen. No sudden movements. Bring us 2 cups of coffee. Coffee! Screeched Viola. Why did no one think of coffee? It started to snow, quite gently, from the ceiling. Hey, said Jules, frowning. What happened to the... The fire alarm went off. Thank you for listening to Sheep Might Fly. I'll be back next week with more Kissing Basilisks. You can sign up to my newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Less than 2 days to the Kickstarter. Castle Charming. Check it out. See you soon.